Have your Bibles, go ahead and turn, if you would, please, to Daniel chapter 4. We're in the Cordis mic tonight. Brother Tyler made sure when I got here, he made me sure I would, he made me promise I wouldn't take it off. If you don't jerk off. Here we go. Hey, Daniel chapter 4. Just want to say that thank you to everybody, everything that you guys do for us, and we appreciate that. Appreciate all the prayers and everything. And looking forward to being here this evening. And it's always good to come back. And Miss Christina's not here. She's not in here tonight. Okay. Well, I couldn't give her a hard time. Well, the last time I was over to her house the other night, and I promised her that I was done trying to give her a hard time. So she's off my bad list now. So she's off that list. Let's go to a word of prayer. We'll get started. Father, Lord, we do want to stop today. Lord, help us to just stop and help us to be thankful tonight. And Lord, I pray that each of us can tonight with a desire to hear something from you. Lord, I pray tonight as we open your word, Lord, I know it's your desire to speak to us tonight, and you're speaking. Help us to listen. Lord, help us to put aside the affairs of the day and all of this that transpired in our lives today. Help us to listen to your words that goes forth tonight. And Lord, I ask you to thank you, Lord, for the time of prayer we've had and the prayer requests, and pray you continue to work in those. Lord, we do want to pray for pastor and his family tonight while they're down in Florida. Lord, we just pray you bless their time there with a time of rest and a time of safety as they head back. And Lord, I just pray now you bless the service tonight. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Book of Daniel chapter 4. Tonight, without trouble with the title, I'm going to try to stay still tonight, partly because I'm going to try to stay still, but partly because today I took the grandkids out and we went down to the museum center down in Cincinnati. And I had no idea how many stairs they had in that place. Stairs up, stairs down. And we would get to the end. I thought, no more stairs. Good, we're done. And I saw one section that we missed, and we went down. Three flights down, three flights up. And I was huffing and puffing. Hi, Caleb. Yeah, Caleb's behind me. That thing started pushing me a couple of times, but I was working up the stairs, so my legs are getting a little bit sore tonight. You know, and then the boy said, Pa, there's an elevator. I just couldn't make myself do it, so I should have. And tonight I'm appreciating my pride tonight, so I got a great example that I'm hurting tonight because I was too proud to use the elevator today. But I figured that my legs was needing the exercise, so it's all good. Look at Daniel chapter one. I mean chapter four. I'm sorry, Daniel chapter four. We were going to read verse 1-3, and then skip over to verse 34. Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. Now look over to verse 34, same chapter, Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 through 37. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand and say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought it unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King in heaven, all whose works are truth, and in his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride is able to abase. And those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. I guess tonight, if I had the title and a message tonight, it'd be brokenness or a fallen king. And just a very simple outline, as always. The first point tonight is found in verse chapter 4, verse 1. We see his power. Daniel chapter 4, and in verse 1, point number 1, we see his power. 4:1. And Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. We see number one, we see with the scope of his power. We see here he's the most powerful man in the world. Whatever he wanted, he could have. Anything he wanted, he could have. Anything he wanted to change, he could change things. We see here, number one, the scope of his power. He's the most powerful man in the world. Then look under the verse two. We see the source of his power. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. We used to hear that he knew that he was blessed of God. So we always, he's the most powerful man in the world. He knows that he has what he has because of God. Look back up, if you would please, and hold your place there. Look back to Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm talking too fast, Lydia. Okay, I am. Okay, Deuteronomy 8:18. I will try to slow up. Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Something we all should remember. Number one, we see the scope of his power. We see he's the most powerful man in the world. And then we see the source of his power is from God. And then Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18 says this: But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers, as it is this day. So we see the scope of his power. We see the source of his power. And we need to keep in mind that everything that we have is from God. So we have the scope, we have the source, and now the third point here is the shame of his power. Now here he is, the most powerful man in the world. He has all this power, and he acknowledges his power is from God. Then look at Daniel 2:38. Daniel 2:38. We see here the shame of his power. Daniel chapter 2 verse 38 or verse 28. Daniel 2:28 and 37. 2:28, and then we read verse 37. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in latter days. The dream and visions of thy hand upon thy bed are these. Now look over, you would, at verse 37. Verse 37 says this: Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heavens hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. You see here that the shame of his power. Now look over to Daniel 2:46. Daniel 2:46 and 47. So we see he acknowledges that God has blessed him. Now look at Daniel 2:46. So 2:46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. Now here he is. He just acknowledged that all his power is from God. He just acknowledged that Christ is the king, and yet and he's going to worship God. And now here is in verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered to Daniel and said, Of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods. He knows there still ever gods. God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou considerest that could just reveal the secret. He's got the power. He knows the source of it. But the shame of it is that he says that God is God. And I'm going to serve him. But there's other little gods. And Daniel, I'm going to worship you too. And my thought tonight is this: we all know that God is God. We all know that. And we all say amen to that. And I say that our God is God, period. We can all say amen to that. But at the same time, do we, like Daniel, have other little gods that we worship and that we serve and we look at? He's the most powerful man in the world, but yet here he is now. He's got all this power, but he lives independently of God. Do we live independently of God? We know that he's God. We acknowledge that he's God. But this morning, How many of us started our day off by saying, Lord, please direct my steps today? Lord, I need your help today. Lord, would you keep us safe today? And we acknowledge that we need his help. We're thankful for the things that we have, you know, and all these things. But yet, how many times do we stop and say, God, I need your help here? We go through life many times. We come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and on Thursday night. We come to visitation, and we do all these things, and we acknowledge that he's God. But in our everyday life, when I get up, I go to work, whether I go to a ball game or I go someplace for amusement, or I go here, I go there, do I acknowledge that he's God in my personal life? We see that Nebuchadnezzar, he acknowledged that God was God, and he said, all I have is from you, but yet in his daily life, he didn't acknowledge God. Now I'm going to pick up. Did Daniel come here a little bit, but Daniel, okay? I love Brother Daniel. He's my buddy. Or he used to be. I guess he still is. He still loved me. Thing is, he grew up and wider. Here's Daniel. Now, at church, we see Daniel, a great young man, loves the Lord. He went through our school here. We went to gun range together, too, didn't we? Yeah, we had a good, and what we see is a young man that loves God and serves God and does right. But during the week, when he's at work, out making his deliveries and his pickups, and he's with other people, how's his life? Here he acknowledges that God is God, God's in charge, God's in control, and God's been good to me, and God's blessed me, and he acknowledges that here. But in his everyday life, does he acknowledge God? Thank you, Daniel. In our lives tonight, not just Daniel, but each of us tonight, do we take time to acknowledge God in our lives? We all can come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Thursday night, be here at the visitation night, and we can look right and talk right here at church. But when you're at home, or when you're at work, or we're at McDonald's, we're out here and about, we're doing stuff, does my life acknowledge how good God is and that he's my God? Or have I allowed other small things to come between me and God? So the first thing about Daniel, I mean, Nebuchadnezzar that I see, is he said that he acknowledged God, but in his life he did not acknowledge God. He was just didn't use him in his everyday life. Now look over to Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15. We need to make a choice. We have the scope of his power, the source of his power, and the shame of his power, how we don't acknowledge him. Look at Joshua 24:15. The question is tonight, have we ever made a decision that he would be our God, period? Joshua, of course, this is toward the end of the life of Joshua. He's challenging his nation there. Joshua 24:15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side. Because remember, these are the children of Israel, and that they have left Egypt, and they've come out of Egypt, that they've been through the desert, they've been through all these things, and then now he says, listen, because they still had their gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. If it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. In our life, there needs to be a conscious decision when we have decided that we're going to serve the Lord. So number one, we see the scope of his power, and then number two, we see his pride. Now go back over to chapter 4, Daniel chapter 4. We see his power, his scope and source and shame of his power. Now we're going to look at his pride. We see here in the place of blessing, chapter 4, verse 28 and 29. And all the elders came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he walked in the place in the palace of the and this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty?" So we see here that he's in a place here being with pride. You know, I look at thinking about Babylon. It says the wall was 387 feet high, 87 feet thick. It enclosed about 225 square miles. The Euphrates River went through the city. They had a lot of gardens. They had a lot of architecture, and they had a lot of things. So one day he is walking around. He says, "I built this by my might. I built this by my power." You know, he's looking around. You know, he become, you know, like a lot of us today. You know, like me today at the museum. So we become very prideful. So we see here where we see that God has blessed him. Now, but looking back at chapter 2, verse 30, what he forgot. Back to Daniel chapter 2, verse 30. He forgot. Daniel chapter 2, verse 30. We see here that there was a great image, and then in verse 37, Daniel 2:37, "Thou, O King, art a King of kings, for God of heavens hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory." He forgot that God had blessed him. He forgot that God had done all these things, and God had given him the power to get these things and done these things, and he forgot that God had blessed him. Sometimes in our pride, we get our eyes off of God and ourself. Look what I've done. I've done this and I've done that. You know, there's sometimes that we forget that God's been good to us. But we also need to keep in mind that the law of sowing and reaping. His pride right here got him in trouble. He had the power. He had the might. He had everything a man could want. But one day he began to look around and say, "Look what I've done." Turn over to Galatians 6:7. We'll just go ahead and read that real quick. Galatians 6:7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. So we see him in his power. We see him in his pride. Then his pride took him here. Galatians 6:7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Sometimes we think we become like spoiled kids sometimes, and we think we can get by with stuff. You know, Daniel, can you come here real quick? He loves to be up here. No, Dan, you're fine. Miss Lydia, can you come here, Miss Lydia, real quick? She's gone last week. I missed her. I had to write my own sermons. Here she is. Now, when she was born to great parents. They're probably watching online tonight or listening. She was born to great parents. And her dad was in the Air Force, so they traveled around a lot. They went to New York and England, and I mean, they went to a lot of places, and she was an Air Force brat. She was spoiled Air Force brat. She always had her own room. She always had all these things. Well, so let's pretend she's a spoiled brat today. And then after a while, spoiled brats get used to doing their own thing, doing their own way. So here she goes, and she goes along, and she meets me. She went the other way. She went the other way for a while, but then I want her back. But she came back. But sometimes we get so used to God's blessings that we become prideful and think that we have done these things. I've done this and I've done that. And we forget who it is. We become prideful. And then we begin to go our own direction. And we stop asking the Lord and thanking the Lord for things. Okay, you can stop there. Right, stop right there. Here's Nebuchadnezzar. But in our Christian lives tonight, thank you. But in our Christian lives tonight, where are we? God's been good to all of us here. Every one of us here are blessed of God. We're here tonight. That's a blessing. You guys have a great church. You know, and that's a blessing. You got a great pastor. And that's a blessing. But the Lord's been good to you guys tonight. To all of us. But God's been good to us. Let's don't get so used to it that we think we've done it. Let's not get so used to it that we think, well, I guess I've done this and I've done that. And so I guess I've done all this so I can sit back now and I can cruise and, you know, and you just kind of not do much, begin to do my own thing and think it's going to be okay. When I quit dishonoring God with my life, things aren't going to be okay. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Now Nebuchadnezzar did well until he got his eyes off of the Lord and onto the things here. Now let's go back and see what he reaped. So the last point tonight is this. Point number three, the place of brokenness. Look at back at Daniel chapter 4, verse 30 and 31. 4:30, again, chapter 4, verse 30, the last part. 4:30 and 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Nebuchadnezzar, your kingdom is gone. We reap what we sow. Then look down to verse 32. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass and oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. We see that, folks, let's just understand this. God knows how to get our attention. Here's Nebuchadnezzar. All that he had in one instant is gone. He had the power, he also had the pride, and now he's reaping the consequences. Tonight, I want us all to stop and think tonight. In our lives, where are you at? If you're running from God, there's going to come a time when God says, that's enough. I've had enough. And then it's just, we should see the next point. I forgot that there's another one. Look at verse 34. Verse 34, Daniel 4:34. At the end of the days, I Nebuchadnezzar lifted mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High God, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. He came to the point, he realized, I've messed up. I've done wrong. I've become prideful. I went the wrong direction. He realized that. But then he not only realized it, he changed it. He turned around. He began to bless and extol God again. He praised God. He was thankful. And his life changed. Tonight, where are we at in our Christian lives? Have we got so used to God? So used to the Word of God? And we so used to living the Christian life? We have our do's, we have our don'ts, and we do, and we do what we should do, and we don't know what we shouldn't do, but yet the relationship with the Lord has kind of slacked off. our relationship with the Lord is, you know, we're still doing and not doing all things that we should do and we're not doing, but we kind of got away from that personal relationship with the Lord, where we just get up and spend time with the Lord through His Word and through prayer, and we don't have that anymore. And now we're going through our emotions now. We have a religion but no relationship, and we're going through our emotion. We're going through our emotions now, but there's no fellowship with the Lord. We know the power of God, but we're not acknowledging God in our lives. It's more of a ritual. As we criticize the Catholics and other denominations because they have their rituals, but if we're not careful, folks, sometimes in our lives, we do the same thing. And we walk by ourselves in the Christian life. And eventually God's going to say, stop, Rick. Stop. I'm going to get your attention. And when God gets our attention, we know it. I remember those of you that know me a long time, remember the story when I was in high school. I surrendered the ministry. I was going to Bible college, and I think I was 16 or 17, and I decided on the inside that I wasn't going to college. I was going to stay here. I was going to work. I was going to find me a girlfriend. I had my life all planned out. And one time we had a birthday party for a youth director, Brother Chuck Books. I organized for him his birthday party, and I organized a bike ride that day. Mr. Stanton, remember the bike ride? The bike ride that day, and there's a steep hill, and I wasn't too smart then either. I had a 10-speed bicycle with no brakes on it. It was just a 10-speed bicycle, and I drove it hard, and I like to show off for. I'll let you do this. Do this. I like to show off for the girls. And maybe back then on Hill Station Road, there's a hill. It came across the top, and then we went down and turned to the bottom. So there's some girls there. I thought, well, I'm going to show them how fast I make this curve. So I went flying down, and I got the curve, and my wheel hit a rock, and I flew from the road up on the train tracks. My face landed in the gravel. My chest landed on the rail. I remember topping the hill. I remember nothing else. So I got woke up in the hospital. I woke up in intensive care in the hospital, and there's Pastor Woody and Brother Books, youth director, my mom and dad, and they're all crying. I thought, this ain't good. The first thing I thought of, Lord said, are you going? Yes, Lord. I knew what it was, because God knows how to get our attention, folks. I decided I was going to acknowledge God and live my life, and live my life the way I wanted to live it. And I was going to go on with life, but I wasn't going to have God. I was going to go through the forms, but I was going to have the relationship. And God knows how to get our attention. Long story short. Ms. Daniels, which I think maybe a few others was here, but Ms. Daniels knows, they announced a church and they had special prayer, and it was just, and thank the Lord, all the stuff they said was wrong with intensive care, they were all wrong. When they got in to do the surgery, it was all good. My face is still messed up, so that's why I look this way. My face is still messed up, but it was all good. But the point is this, be careful about being so used to the Christian life and seeing the power of God and enjoying the power of God and the presence of God in our life. We get so used to it, sometimes we begin to walk away from it and think, well, I did this and I did that and I've done this. Well, there comes a point when God's going to say, stop. Stop. Acknowledge me. And I got to make a decision. God, you got my attention. I'm listening now. But a lot of times, many times we get there, but we're never changed. Many people come to church and they hear a sermon and God speaks their heart and they're moved, but they walk out and we're never changed. We're moved by a message or we're moved by a verse or we're moved by conviction. We're moved, but we're never changed. Tonight, if God's speaking to your heart, You got used to God, and you got used to the power of God. You got used to the blessings of God. You got used to this, all these things, and you're going through the motions now, enjoying those things. But in the meantime, you're not having a relationship with the Lord. Let's stop tonight. Let's realize, God, I'm going the wrong direction. God, I'm not where I ought to be spiritually. I have all these things, but God, I'm not having a relationship with you. Then not only be moved, but be changed. Say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then begin to do what's right in our lives. Begin to read our Bibles and to pray and have a relationship with the Lord again. Don't be moved, but not changed. Nebuchadnezzar, he was moved, he was changed. There's that chapter, you can read it. He was changed. Don't get so used to God, folks. Don't us get you so used to God. We're right down to hope. The Lord is blessing. We've had attendances the last month. We broke our Sunday morning a record, and we broke our Sunday night record. Then Wednesday night we broke our record for Wednesday night. Attendance wise, I don't want to get used to that. I don't want to get used to that. I don't want God to say, okay, stop. Don't get used to God's blessings. Tonight, I want to warn you, if you're here tonight and you know God's speaking to you and you choose not to acknowledge God tonight, He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to get close to you and get your attention. And when He does, you don't forget it. And when He does, you know He's convicting you. I never spanked my kids except they knew what they were getting spanked for. I don't think Ricky did he always know what you get spanked for most of the time? Yeah? Oh, that was crazy. Wrong. But anytime my kids got in trouble, we explained to them what they had done wrong. God does the same thing. And when God gets your attention, if it's chastisement, you'll know it. So tonight, two questions, and I'm done. Question number one. Did God speak to your heart tonight? Question number two, what are you going to do about it?